Hello and welcome to the F1 Feeder Series podcast, your guide to keeping up to date on everything in the junior single-seater world. I'm your host, Jim Kimberley, and the season is really starting to wrap up now. Just this weekend, we've had crownings of previous guest Oli Goethe as a Euro Formula champion, Alessandro Giusti took the French F4 championship, and Andrea Kimi Antonelli has completed the first half of his Oli Behrmann impression by taking the ADAC title. All three series now join the completed column together with British and Danish F4, which both ended last week. And as luck would have it, we have two drivers from those championships joining us today. First up, let me introduce the driver who took the Danish F4 championship by just 5 points, but his 12 podium finishes and 4 wins gained him the crown. Hello to Julius Dinesen. How are you today, Julius? Thanks for joining the podcast.
I'm very good, and thank you for having me.
No, it's a real pleasure. You've had a pretty good season.
Yeah, it's been pretty decent in my rookie year, I would say.
Yeah, well, we're going to dive right into that in just a moment. We've also got to hear from the driver who was racing against last week's guest, Alex Dunn, the British F4 champion, and he managed to deny the Irishman some victories and some silverware over the year, and he also took P3 in F4 UAE before the season had even started. How are you doing today, Aidan?
Let me go with the full name, Aidan Neat. I'm good, thank you. It's nice to be here, because I feel like I should have been on one of these a while ago, but I've not ground to it, so it's nice to finally be on one.
Late than never, Aidan. It's really good to have you here. We're going to go through your season as well. It's been a long old year starting in February on your side. And then from the F1 Feeder Series side of things, it's a man who has been oh so lost with the sizable gap between Monza and Abu Dhabi's F2 races. Hello to the F1 Feeder Series Formula 2 editor, Tyler Foster. Welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. It's always nice to be back. As you said, yeah, it's been a bit of a miss for me over the last few weeks without any F2 action. But I tell you what, it's given me the opportunity to watch some of these guys, and F4 action is, if you could argue, more competitive, more exciting with more cars on track and more mental and chaotic. So I'm sure there's some very interesting questions, whether it's about racing or food. I'm excited to be back and with a champion and maybe Aidan a champion to be.
I hope so.
have some good conversation.
Just as ever, a quick reminder to like, comment and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Ooh. If you are listening to the audio only version, please leave a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. We had some lovely comments across social channels over the last week or so, specifically on the Jamie Chadwick and Alex Dunn video, with Vasito Productions on YouTube saying, awesome stuff, you guys are critically underrated, with a smiley face. Thank you so much. Stop Apologizing on YouTube saying it was a great episode with two champs. And the Ice Meme Van on Discord, the name that made Alex laugh so much last week, saying that shit was brilliant, honestly loved it, 10 out of 10 podcast. That's the sort of review that I like. And it really does mean so much for the hours that we do put in. It may not always seem it, but there's a lot of prep, a lot of editing, and the recording is always a lot of work. So having people enjoy it really, really means a lot. You can leave a rating on Spotify, and you can review us on Apple Podcasts. And liking and commenting on YouTube really helps us out. Thank you to everybody who does rate and review us. It really, really helps. Okay, we're on Formula 4 pretty much all week on this episode. We've got two Formula 4 drivers with us. I have started to have my favourite question this stage in the year. It's got late on, and it just seems we have to reflect. It's a time of year to reflect on what's happened. So, Julius Dinesen, you've got a title to your name and a lot of trophies. How has the season gone from your perspective?
Oh, that's a deep question. I would say I came into the season with, it's my first year in a single seater. So going into the season with many good drivers also in the Danish championship, I was hoping for like a top five finish. But like the speed was just really good all season, and yeah, I did pole position in the first race of the season also, and then it just went really good the whole season. Then I managed to claim the title in the very end.
Does that start of the season, you know, claiming pole position? I think you had a triple podium when you first started as well. Is that sort of stuff that just kicks on, that kicks on the season for you? You feel like maybe it wouldn't have gone so well if you didn't start so well?
Always for me, the most important, I think, part of the season is the very beginning for me.
So that when you went in, I was reading some of the stuff. We did an interview with F1 Feeder Series recently where you seem to have very high expectations of yourself. Is that something that, not to say when you win, because it might sound a bit arrogant, but when you won the title, you expected to win the title, or was it still a pleasant surprise that you managed to win out in the end?
I always go into the season aiming for the top step of the podium. So I always expect myself to win. So
it's a real racing driver there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, expect to win. That's it's a level of confidence that I think double your age probably just never got with myself. Like, have high expectations, but expecting to win is something. Same question. I have to go on your side as well, Aidan. Two wins, 234 points, which is pretty chonky. How did the season go from your perspective?
Not as good as I wanted it to be honest. But it is what it is. We had good performances to be proud of throughout the year, but just not enough, really, which is a bit annoying. Not as good as you wanted. It was nice when we were fast, we were really fast, but then at times we struggled quite a bit. For me, my third victory of the year has been 17 out of 20 in the team for qualifying. So that was quite a nice little boost. So when you win 17 out of 20, it was quite a nice thing to see when you look back on. So I was happy with that. But yeah, definitely not as well as you wanted. So I think we showed a lot of pace out on UAE and showed what we could do. But then came over to England, just didn't really have the year we expected for a few reasons, which was a bit annoying. But yeah, that is what it is. We're looking forward to bigger things now, for sure.
Do you look at something like that, the way that George Russell was doing when he was at Williams, just getting that qualifying performance, that you're trying to just pick up any of those positives? Because I know you're still at the sharp end for a lot of it, and I was looking through your results, and there's an awful lot of P4s, which your P3 starts making a massive difference. If there's a trophy for that, you'd be pretty weighed down by them this year. But do you look at that as something that I can only judge myself against my teammates, and that's really a positive?
To a certain extent. I mean, I think the higher up you go, the more you can, because the more the differences are in the car. For example, George, as you said, he's not going to win races. We wouldn't have won races in that Williams, whereas you should still be able to win a race, whatever car you're in, really, in F4. But so it's not quite as much where we are now, but obviously you still want to be the quickest in the teams. The worst thing is, if you come in and you're not the quickest teammate, then you're not having a good day, really. But it's definitely something. But as you said, we've had a lot of P4s this year, but I had 11 no-point scores. I think it was 11 out of 30 races, and got 0 points. So even if I scored 5 points in every single one of them races, I think I could have been third in the championship. Is a massive what if, but just kind of how many things did go wrong.
I was going to ask Julius, you know, we talk about Danish F4, and there's been a few drivers over the years that have been actually quite notable, considering that it's one of the smaller F4 championships. Juju Noda was in there last year. And obviously, the Feeder Series legend, Mads Ho. And I know there's questions that will be on this later, so I don't want to get too much into the whole F4 versus F5 machinery discussion. But as someone who's raced in a series where you have drivers of, you know, completely different ages and experiences, you know, you were in a championship battle, you know, with Sebastian Gravelund, who he was in his second year. So how much, you know, in terms of all the difference in the championship, how exciting is it actually being right in the thick of it and coming into that as a rookie and straight away, as you know, say, winning that championship? Does it feel like it's even more exciting and gratifying to you knowing how difficult that championship is?
I mean, I would say comparing a rookie in the season and then a guy who's done maybe like 1.5 season or 2 seasons before that, there's a massive difference in like just the race itself about managing the tires also. So coming in into the season as a rookie and then winning in it, it's just a bit like, what can I say, a bit more special, I would say.
I've been watching it all year, like for the, not all year, you've been racing this year, but I've been watching it for years in the past to see the level that you'd be competing against. Like, so these drivers that Tyler's mentioning, with these names and faces that you've been recognizing, thinking, crikey, I'm racing against these guys.
I have never really actually watched just Danish motorsport, like, at all. But many of the drivers I raced against this year was drivers I also raced against in karting.
Mm. So yeah. You're familiar with the racing, but then you talk about the single seaters, it's just completely different with the tire management and all sorts.
Yeah, totally. I think my tire management first became really good in the last part of the season, because like in the first two races I just screw up my tires fully. Like the two last races I was driving on wet tires, I would almost say. Like
it's just completely different. How about in the British F4, Aiden, as well? Is that something that's not really brought up so much? So you have to consider the tyre wear?
I think coming from the Hankook from last year, because on the Hankook, it was literally fine. Like, everyone, it wasn't even really a question about, like, if you had new tyres at the start of the race, that was pretty cool. But it didn't really mean too much. Then going to the Pirelli was actually, like, quite a big difference. But the UAE helped prepare that a little bit, because even though you were still on the Hankook, it was obviously a bit hotter.
Just a little bit than Britain.
Yeah, but then we had weekends this year, which are 32, 33 degrees. Mm. Like, Snetterton the Deg was horrendous. Thruxton was the worst. Thruxton, you did outlap. The first push lap was the quickest lap, and then you basically boxed, which in F4 is, like, unheard of.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was different, but no one actually kind of really knew what was going on. We just kind of drove around. Then if we were quick, we were quick. If the car felt bad, it felt bad. If the tyres were bad, it was bad. It was just, I don't know, it was just all, it was kind of new to everybody. So we just kept having to learn and adapt every single weekend, which is not really what you want to be doing.
But it's one of those ones where you're trying to just be the quickest to learn. I wasn't going to mention your Snetterton weekend as well. You brought it up then, because that was it 0 points exiting that? That must have been
Snetterton was a great weekend. It was amazing.
Like the great British sarcasm for anybody listening who isn't used to this. The great was not so great.
Well, actually, qualifying, I managed to hit a curb and knock my wishbone off, which was quite nice. So race three, we were starting, I think, P11, which was amazing. Race one, my good friend off track, who quite annoyed me at this point, Gray, decided to turn me into the pit wall going into turn one. So that was quite fun. What happened in race two? Oh, Eduardo did an amazing move on me. That was sarcasm as well. and me and Eduardo both ended up losing about five places. But everyone was so close that weekend. Like, every single driver was within like a tenth of each other. So if you lost five places, you're not going to get it back.
Yeah.
And then in race three, it was completely my fault. I just made a small misjudgment, which turned in, and small misjudgments in open wheel racing can turn into quite, well, not ideal. So, yeah, it wasn't amazing, but I learned a lot as a person that weekend.
that's a positive outlook.
A lot as a person. So that's something you have to take from it.
Bouncing back is what it sounds like you're saying. It's just the mental attitude. And actually, just another thing to ask you, Julius, is that I read in the interview with FOB the series about your mental attitude, about how you, before karting, you were very disappointed and you'd have a race ruined if you had a bad start. It sounds like you've changed a lot in the last year or so, when you're actually being positive no matter what happens. Has that helped you all year? And can you talk us through what's changed?
Before the season started, I went to like a mental trainer, I think it's called, or something, because I just had a very shitty season in karting. So I need to like just restart my whole career a bit. So now my mindset is a lot stronger. So if a mistake's happen in the race, then I can really change it and then just go forward again.
So when you say about this mental trainer, what was it that they were teaching? Is it just saying that, like, without sounding too cliche, the past is the past, and even if the past is one lap ago, you can't change it, so you just need to move forwards? How do they train your brain?
I did like ice bath, I think it's called, like 0 degree water, and then just sitting maybe like 5 minutes and just concentrating a lot. So that was one of the part of the mental training I did, which helped me to concentrate more. And then all these bad thoughts, like when something didn't happen, I want to happen. Then I just said, I can change it. And then I just drove from that place.
Julius, yeah. After the year that you've had with the mental trainer, I was wondering, have you got the phone number to give to Aiden? Because I think after Aiden's year this year, I think Aiden needs a bit of that ice bath treatment. Aiden, any thoughts?
I ordered a phone number after this year. Does the ice bath really calm you down?
Huh?
Did the ice bath really just calm you down? Just
yeah.
Help you? I thought. Yeah?
Yeah, a lot. But my mental trainer, he has also been a trainer for Christian Lundgaard.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I find it so fascinating. I know about the ice baths, but it's usually just like to cool down. I mean, you see drivers, that funny picture of, it's a Pierre Gasly sitting in like a rubbish bin, a trash can in Singapore or something. And I just thought it was like a physical thing. I find it really fascinating. I didn't know anything about it. Yeah, I didn't find it. So what is it they're trying to teach you? And are you speaking to this person, this mental trainer, when you're doing it?
No, we didn't speak at all. He would just told me sometimes that I had to take deep breaths, because deep breaths are very important, especially also before a race start with the red lights, to keep composure also before the race.
I tell you what, I'm going to forget doing this podcast lark and just tell people to go and sit in ice baths and charge a fortune for it. This sounds like a really good way to make money. Just a final thing, because we've got a load of questions, as we always do. But from you, Tyler, some of these F4 drivers wrapping up the season now, they'll be heading your way to F2 in a few years' time. We've had Kimi Antonelli and Alex Dunn and Taylor Barnard, Rafa Kamara, Nicholas Lolov, many, many more, including our guest today, lots of potential. Is there anybody in particular that you're keeping an eye on for the future?
Well, obviously, Kimi Antonelli is the one that is usually thrown around the sort of top of that list. But someone that you haven't mentioned, Ugo Chukwu, you know, the young American, you know, he's had a pretty good season in terms of British F4, coming in as a rookie, and then going into Italian F4 and just having you know, three races and finishing second, first and second in those three, goes to show that he clearly has the talent that it takes. And I think that considering his age as well and experience coming over from America, which we see with a lot of drivers don't always adapt straight away to, that's really impressive. So he's someone who, especially considering he's on the McLaren books, I mean, he has a path cut out from already. And, you know, as we know, if you get there early with an F1 team, that makes a massive, massive difference for you. Yes, of course, it adds that pressure, but, you know, he's a driver that, you know, comes from an interesting background. So I think that when it comes to pressure, he's someone that probably has a bit of experience in that already. So he's certainly an exciting driver.
That's all the questions from us, because the F1 Feeder Series podcast is for you, viewers and listeners. We're going to move on to the hashtag AskF1FS part of the podcast. If this is your first time watching or listening, you can get involved by using the hashtag AskF1FS on Twitter, joining our Discord and using the podcast questions channel, commenting on our YouTube videos, or keeping an eye out on our Instagram posts and stories. Loads of questions to go through, might not get through all of them. And I know in particular, Aiden, you need to shoot off. So we'll try and whiz through these as much as we can. It's always these drivers have so much traveling to do. Let's start with this one from at Stein, Mart and Max. Too neat, not on first names terms yet, but too neat. Was there ever any plans to race with Prema after F4 UAE, or were you always going to do British F4?
It's a good question, the one that I don't honestly know the absolute complete answer to. There was obviously talks when we were there afterwards, because I mean UAE was quite successful really, but at this point we'd already committed to British F4. I was still really happy to do British F4, so there wouldn't have been any regrets, and there wasn't any regrets to stay over in Britain. but obviously it would have been nice to get back in that red car. I think, like, you talk to anyone from motorsport, anyone that likes watching single seater racing, everyone knows Prema, you know. It's a cool place to be. And I got on with everyone really well as well, which is always a nice, if you're in a nice environment, you're going to perform well, for me personally anyway. So it was spoken about, but it was never really properly looked at. It was just more of a little conversation which was had, but no, it was never really going to go there.
It sounds like flirting with a girl at school, but never actually asking them out. That's what it sounds like to me, that you have that element of almost, you just never know. You're already committed elsewhere. Tyler, I think you've got the next question, if you'd be so kind.
Yes, next question from a regular of ours at CMParfait16 on Twitter. Greetings to Julius. What is your favourite food that you've ever eaten during a race weekend so far?
Important questions, Julius. We need to know.
The food is important.
I am a lasagna guy. Very good. Lasagna.
Is there you went to Italy for karting, is that right?
Yeah.
And was that where this love of lasagna came from? Because, I mean, Italy is the food place to be.
Yeah, I went to Italy for maybe like 3 years, just straight karting. So it just happened there. Fell in love with lasagna.
And how about anything else? Because I know Tyler loves some food-related chat.
Food chat, yes, please.
Yeah. Is there any particular circuit that's best for eating when you go to Italy? Because I'm planning to do some Italian visits myself next year.
They had some pretty good lasagna at Adria Raceway.
Yeah.
But that's right.
Please tell me, there's a little restaurant, right? I mean, it's like, it's a 10-minute drive away from Adria. It has three, maybe four tables, right? There's one Italian guy that works there. You get the world's biggest lasagna for like £6, and Garfield would be like in his dreams. It was the best lasagna I've ever had in my life. And we never knew, in Adria, we never found out the name of the place, but it was literally like this big, and it was like €6, and it was the best lasagna.
Is this the same place for you, Julius? Does this sound familiar? Three tables, massive lasagna?
No, this lasagna, I think this lasagna was like only 500 meters from the track or something. So it was not the same place. Yeah.
Well, I know where I'm heading next year as a priority. Yeah. You see why we call this the F1 Feed series podcast, because that's all we care about, especially when Tyler comes to join. There's another question now from Evgeny. I've also got Tumi566, so I'm not sure who it is on the notes. I apologise. One of you's happy, I don't know. But question to Julius, where do you think the level of Danish F4 is now after you've had the experience of riding on different techniques in two different championships?
I mean, is he referring to the Spanish championship?
It wasn't referred to, but I presume that would be what it is. But like, what's your thoughts on just the quality level of the drivers you've been racing against?
I mean, the Danish championship this year is good, but the Spanish championship is just like way better. Like the top 15 drivers there is just so close and so fast. Just everyone.
Are you finding generally it's the teams as well, or is it just the drivers, just everything to do with the Spanish championship that you find so different?
I think the drivers, because the Spanish championship have got a lot bigger and also better in the last couple of years. Yeah. So, yeah, I would say the drivers.
A lot of interest in that. Question from Chloe from you, if you'd be so kind, Tyler.
Yeah, she just had to ask this question to you, Aiden.
Just the one on the Instagram post.
She wouldn't stop going on about this. Do you think that streaming on Twitch has helped with people backing you in motorsport?
It's from Chloe Hickman specifically.
Yeah.
You didn't need to say. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, yeah, definitely. And it, to be honest, it's nice just to have like kind of a group of people, but they're also, they kind of become your friends. And I think especially that, to be honest, I haven't streamed so much this year, so I've really not been home. I'm going to start. Well, I keep saying I'm going to start again and I keep doing it. And then I'm not home again for like a month. So it's a bit difficult to kind of keep it up consistently. But there's probably 10, 15 people who are there from literally the very first stream who will still message every week, like literally about whatever. So yeah, it's been nice. And it's also, their names are always there, whether it's on the British F4 Instagram in the comments, or it's just in my Discord chat when I finally actually open the app again, like remember it exists. So for some reason, just forget about it, about the app. But yeah, definitely. And it's nice. And it's nice to kind of have a, like a group of, it's like a family, really, like a little Twitch family.
Twitch family. Well, see, Lando Norris being such a big, big fan of it. And Julius, you're in your sim racing rig now. Do you do a lot of streaming as well, or is it generally just to practice?
My computer is too shit for streaming. So
tell us really what you think about the computer.
That's not possible. But I would like to. So I think I'll wish some new hard drive for Christmas probably, so I can start.
Are we having the confirmation here that we've got Julius Dinesen and Aidan Neat who are going to be streaming together after Christmas? Is that what we're hearing? Exclusive.
Yeah.
Look at that. We're making friends here, Tyler. I'm delighted with that. No, I'll definitely tune in for that sort of stuff. I had a sim racing, very basic setup. None of this fancy seat you're sitting in, Julius. Anybody who's listening rather than watching, proper sim racing setup. We had Aidan show off his four monitors before the podcast even started. These guys do it properly. And he's going to show us off again. There you go, in the corner. And yeah, it's so much fun. I've never got to driven a single-seater car in real life, but that's the closest I get. And I like it. I don't think I've got, well, one, the money, and two, the talent to make it work in real life, especially when I'm shoving my F1 game settings down to 60 or 70 to get through some of the races. But I'll stop talking now. I'm just getting embarrassed myself. We'll move on to this next question from Pauline Razanet, who wants to know, for Aidan, will Max Futrell continue to help you, etc.?
I haven't actually officially worked with Max since the end of last year, to be fair. But we're still quite good mates. I mean, when he's home, I see him. I played golf with him a couple of weeks ago. But he's always there for advice. But no, I don't actually work with him anymore. He got his blue tick on Instagram and then was a bit too famous for us all. So that's how it went. I'm joking. We rinsed him for it because it was an actual coincidence, but it was just at the time of him, us two stopped working together, he got his blue tick. so we always rinse him for it.
Very good.
But no, he's a lovely guy, but unfortunately not working with him anymore.
Was there anything like specific, those advice that he would give to you that would be helpful when you were working together?
Don't crash, for one. I think that's always one. To be honest, he would. Yeah, don't crash.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. Go in ice baths and have deep breaths and don't crash. I'm learning from you guys how to be a motorsport coach. This sounds like a piece of cake. Yeah,
Jim, you should do it before you play F1.
Yes. Get my skill level a little bit higher.
There is one race that comes to mind.
Go on.
Brands GP, the last weekend of the year last year. I'd had just quite a mediocre weekend, like I was struggling for pace quite a bit, and before race three I was starting P9. Max said to me, if I get a podium from P9, he'll get me a box of customized Pro V1s golf. And if anybody listens to this doesn't play golf, Pro V1s are like the best but also most expensive golf ball, and I'm not good enough for golf to buy them, but I always lose them. But he said he'll get me a customized box that had my name on it, had my number on it, everything. And I went from ninth to third in that race with fastest lap just before Zagger picked me on, with like a couple of laps to go. And I went from ninth to third. And would you have it? A few months later, these golf balls turned up on my door.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, I think I need to start making more bets with people about some customized golf balls.
Who just thought it? That's just not the crossover I would expect. So, yeah, I'll tell you something, Chloe, if you are listening, if you want Aidan to be winning the title next year, just say you're going to give him some customized golf balls and he's going to make it happen. Speaking of which, I think it's probably a question about it, but from your guys, this is totally my question now. Next year, what are we thinking? You got any thoughts about what's going to be going in there? Is it Spanish F4? Is it moving somewhere else? What have you got? Julius, anything you can share with us?
I don't really know yet, but I think it's pretty obvious it's going to be either Italian F4 or Spanish F4.
Okay, yeah. So nothing confirmed of teams or anything, but that's where you're looking. How about you, Aidan? Are you going to go overseas? Are you going to do
something with a bit more downforce?
That's what I'm getting out of that. You already know what you're doing.
Nothing is confirmed, but I don't want to be getting back into an F4 car. That's what a third year of F4 for me, I don't think would be beneficial, because I think. I don't know. Do you know what? I might have even saw on one of F1 feeder series posts, on one of the podcasts, when a third year F3 driver said at some point you can only gain a certain amount of experience. I don't know if it was on.
I've heard the sentence, but I've spoken to a lot of drivers. I don't want to misquote who might have said that. But yeah, you're probably right. So are you thinking GB3? Is there anything you can share with us?
We're looking at everything, to be honest. I think FIA is a bit unnecessary. I've literally just turned 16, so there's no point, and there's no point rushing through it at all. So probably GB3 or Freca are the two more likely ones. Can't rule out FIA, but I don't think it's really necessary, or I don't actually know if it'd be possible anyway, to be honest.
Well, going completely off that, Tyler's next question is going to get us back on track, and a really important question for both of you.
Yeah, this is one that a lot of people have been interested to know the answers for you guys. From Ashley on Discord, what is your favourite type of cheese?
Do you want to go first? Yeah, Julius, this is important stuff.
Cheese.
Like cheese.
What else would you eat?
Cheese?
No, I just thought I heard wrong or something, because I was wondering cheese.
I thought I was on a motor racing podcast, and now you're asking about cheese.
I don't really know, like, a cheese, but I like pizza formaggi. Yeah, but I don't know really a cheese.
I don't know what our fans are going to think of this. This is an important question. Everyone has their favorite type of cheese. This is big deal. But
is cheese not a massive part of the Danish diet?
No, not at all.
It's all on their bacon. That's what I know from Denmark. I love the Danish bacon. Aidan, do you want to rescue this year?
I can't. I'm not a fan. Like, I like.
Whoa! You can't have that language on the podcast. This people will be furious.
But hear me out. I would never, if a cheese board was put in front of me, I couldn't eat anything strong.
So can eat cheese, and you do, but you don't have a preference.
No, I don't like stronger cheeses, and all cheeses which people generally talk about are the ones you get on a cheese board, which are Black Bomber or they're smelly or something. I'm not a fan of them ones. So out of them ones, I can't tell you.
Just like cheddar for you, then.
Literally, just as long as it's not like stinking or got too many holes in it, I'm fine.
So a cheese string for Aidan, then.
Cheese strings or Dairy Lee or something.
Get out of the packet. Yeah.
And Baby Bell. One of them.
Wow. Yes. I mean, this could be the last podcast of this sort of language. People are going to be furious and leaving one-star reviews. This is a big turnout. Why is that so much? Eh?
I've got something to add here, actually.
Uh-huh. So save himself. Dig yourself out of this hole, mate. After you.
Yeah, I'm going to do it by digging my girlfriend an even bigger hole.
Okay.
She likes no cheese at all. Other than melted cheese on pizza.
I was going to say, what happens with a pizza?
And halloumi. She's shaking her head.
Well, this is the end of the relationship.
Oh, I love halloumi. I love halloumi. How did I forget about halloumi? Halloumi cheese from Nando's. That is my favourite.
From Nando's.
But I don't know if that counts as... That doesn't count as actual cheese. Does that count as like a preference for cheese?
I think
cheese?
That's the best we're going to get out of you, isn't it?
I'll go with that. Wow. Tyler, do you want to grab this next question from Callum Edwards as well, please, mate?
Yeah, no problem. So what has been your favourite moments individually for you two this season?
Julius, you want to grab this one first? You've had a few moments.
I think the last race on Jyllandsringen, where I got crowned Danish champion. I mean, that race, it was just I almost crashed on the first lap. I was spinning in the gravel and stuff, and then I managed to still win the championship. So
it's not even taking a win or anything, or the because you finished fourth place.
Yeah. I had to finish, I think it was one or two places behind Sebastian Gravelund, still to win the championship. So he almost crashed in the start, and then like I had to avoid him, and I go through the gravel, and then I spun in the gravel. And then there was a safety car, and then I went behind the safety car again. I was, I think, P11 or something. And then I just, my pace was just really amazing. And then I was trying right behind Sebastian. I didn't need to overtake him or anything. So
you just thought from P11, if I can get myself some personalized golf balls, then I can go forwards and get myself into P4. That's the way to do it. How about you, Aidan? What was your highlight of the season? Snetterton, I presume, with three.
No, double pole and race win on my birthday was really cool. Like that was a cool birthday present, I think, for me. Was kind of the first weekend all year we were super competitive, not only myself, but like as a collective. And me and Dan are both really quick. Adam was showing some good pace as well on the team. So yeah, it was quite a good weekend. Then in the races, I mean, race two and three didn't go very well for unavoidable reasons. But double pole and race win on my birthday was really, really cool.
Yeah, I'd imagine. You're giving yourself your birthday presents. Last couple of questions. I know particularly you, Aidan, you're going to have to shoot off and we're going to be keeping you a bit later. But there's this final question from Josh R. on Discord. He wants to know, how does a Gen 1 F4 car compare to the Gen 2 F4 car?
The one thing I found about the new F4 is they don't produce a significant amount more downforce, but the dirty air following was absolutely terrible. Like racing, it was the biggest thing for me. That I was really shocked by how different the dirty air was from the old car to the new car.
Can you feel it physically, like hitting your helmet? Can you feel that, or is it just genuinely on your steering when you turn a corner?
No, just car balance. Like if you're already struggling with oversteer, you'll pick up more oversteer. If you're already struggling with understeer, you'll pick up more understeer. So it was just kind of an unavoidable disaster.
But like, if you're in clean air though, you don't notice it anywhere near as much. It's just your cars, you struggle, like you say, with oversteer.
But just to put into perspective, Brands GP, there wasn't one overtake in the top 10 in all three races. Yeah, when you go to the European tracks, it's a bit easier, I think, to race. And in the UAE, because you have the super long straights, so you can pick up the slipstream, which obviously makes the racing better. But unfortunately, in the UK, where you have really difficult corners, but not a lot of straight lines, it's not very easy. But to actually race. So qualifying was just super, super important, like super important. And the other thing's just the halo. Like, obviously, we love it. And I'm happy I had it. I had a front wing hit my halo again at Snetterton. So you're happy you have it. But obviously, just the nature of having it brings the center of gravity higher, which makes the car a bit less responsive on the front. So that was definitely one of the more noticeable things. A bit less responsive on the front doesn't even compare to having the halo. I mean, it's just everyone knows now. If you don't have it, then I don't think I really need to vouch for it anymore, do I?
No, we're all fans of it now. But no, just fascinating to hear. Just you could be racing in F4, but have just such different experiences with the car, and that can really affect your performances. And final question, if you'd be kind, Tyler, to head us out.
Yes, this one's to Julia. Sort of same sort of discussion, but on the Danish side of things. What are your thoughts on the Danish F4 system of F5, and do you think that it works?
Obviously, it's a bit annoying to drive against F5 cars, but I think there was maybe like four F5 cars in the whole field the whole season. So I think it does something good for the series also, because if there was no if five cars, then we would only be like eight or something on the track. So I think it's fine. There are five cars on the track.
Is the general idea of it just to be that first kind of step up to be making it into F4 the next year? Is that how it works in Denmark?
I think it's a bit easier to drive,
Hmm.
and then it's also a bit cheaper to drive. So I just think if you really don't want to like make the move to the FIA series or something, then it's just easier and better to just drive the F5 car.
I find it really any sort of way that reduces costs, I'm all in favor of. So good to hear that you do see the benefits of it. And that question's just Tyler didn't want to embarrass himself because it's from Zane Maloney 22, but that's a fake account. So just on Discord. So I can see why you didn't want to spread any gossip, Tyler. But yeah, I'm afraid after some of the shocking scenes here on the podcast about no favorite cheeses and all sorts. So we're going to have to go and take a break and say that's all the time we have this week. Thank you everybody for watching and listening. Not thank you to the drivers who have offended all of them without their cheese preferences, but halloumi might have saved us in the end. If you'd like to have your question asked on a future episode, use the hashtag AskF1FS on Twitter. Drop any questions below if you're watching on YouTube. Respond to our Instagram stories or posts, or let us know what questions you have on your mind on our Discord. Look for the podcast questions channel, where Aidan may or may not sometimes appear if he can be asked opening Discord on his phone and remembering that it exists. If you are watching on YouTube, dropping a like on the video, leaving a comment, and subscribing to the channel all really helps us out. And if you are listening, leaving a review on the podcast platform you're listening on is greatly appreciated. Finally, check out f1feederseries.com for more feeder series insight and follow F1 Feeder Series 1, F1 FS Americas, and F1 FS Live on Twitter. You can find the links to all of those, plus the Twitter accounts for myself and everyone else on the podcast, where you'll also find out when they're going to be doing their Twitch streaming after Christmas in the YouTube description or the podcast show notes. Until next time, we have been the F1 Feeder Series podcast. Goodbye. Bonus fallen. Oh no.
Crash. Oh
He was
shit.
so professional. It's so professional.